This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Around 40 years ago, Hmong people who were fleeing from the war in Southeast Asia sought refuge in the U.S., many in Wisconsin. Now the Hmong Cultural and Community Agency is hosting a History Day to celebrate the Hmong community's experience in the La Crosse area. Joining us now to talk about the event and the community's history are Chongcher Lee, board advisor for the HCCA, Zhao Vang, board president of the HCCA, and Mai Shou Vang, program director for Giashia Incorporated, a Hmong cultural organization in La Crosse. So Zhao, I wonder if you could first talk a little bit about, what is this La Crosse Area Hmong History Day? What is the event going to look like?
This will be the first time we ever host since I came to La Crosse, but later on, I have Chongcher talk more about it. The goal is to outreach to the community for the agency, what we have in there, and also the most important is to celebrate the Hmong people who first arrived in La Crosse and the surrounding area, and what they remember was like back then, and 10, 20 years later, and now was different. So we hope that this will bring a lot of people memories and come together and celebrate in the past, present, and move forward in the future.
Mm-hmm. And Chongcher, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, why the HCCA wanted to host an event like this.
That's the organization serving the community. I've been living here since 81, long-time resident here. There are many things challenging, success, failure, or many good things happening, and we really too busy, so we really don't have the time to really organize and having the community come together. Some kind of a social event where gathering of the young, old, and talk about or see, where we're coming from and how far we get here or something. So to bring back some of the memory and bring back some of the challenge and some of the community. So it's a day of, event where, 30 years in this community here into a couple hour or a day, sit down. And then we're going to have food, some kind of food, and we have a game for children, some kind of thing. And we also have like a picture, all that stuff that we're going to put the posters when people come, you can see, and, many kind of reflect back on the past year of, thing that we came in memory, thing that that for a new generation can see, within the Hmong community in here or within the community here, we have people all age, and we came here to La Crosse different time of the year too. So like myself in 81, and there are a couple of family, older than that. So over the year, you're collectively for large population in here, but we don't really have the time or not in the past year, there's no event or something like that where we're going to get all the people to come in as much we can and to explore, to listen, or to reflect the memory that we've been ever since living across here. So I think that's a good day for, community, Hmong and non-Hmong, everyone invited to, so it's a great day to come together.
Yeah, you mentioned that, you're kind of opening this up to not just the Hmong community in La Crosse, but just the whole community.
Yeah, whole community.
And I wonder what you hope people who are not Hmong who attend the event, what they take away.
I think that they will learn, they'll know more about who is Hmong and who is there, what's the agency, the center right now, and, learning about being in the community here. How long we've been here and what thing that we accomplished over the year, the challenge too, and those are people, if you come, you'll learn a lot, it's hard to describe or talk about it, but many good things, many of the people that in the 80s, 90s, many of those they're not even around anymore, so try to capture some of the history, some of the things, many good things happened over the years, so just come over and, you never know when you can learn. So being part of that, that's the only thing you can find out who is Hmong and what is the community, La Crosse area community here, not just one, but it's the multi-culture and the community makeup. So I think you have come, you'll learn a lot, see a lot.
Yeah, my show, you know, as Chung Tur mentioned, you know, it's not... There's a wide range of ages of Hmong people in this area. You know, it's not just elders who came over here back in 70s, 80s, you know. And I wonder what this kind of event might mean to, you know, different generations of Hmong people in the area.
I think it's really important that we do celebrate our history here, right? I think that for young people, it's something they want to see, and that makes them really excited about their culture, because there isn't a lot of spaces in mainstream lacrosse that we get to celebrate that. But I think Ye Song-kyo said something really important, and he said that we are going to talk about some of our challenges too. The History Day is going to address some of the challenges that Hmong people have had in the lacrosse area in the last 20 to 30 years. And I think that's another big part of when we celebrate and when non-Hmong people enter our spaces to learn about Hmong people, it's really to just celebrate their culture, and it's to learn and kind of take away what they will from the Hmong culture. But they never really hear about the challenges that Hmong people face, or we never really want to address it as a community. And it's really hard to look at that history, and the challenges I'm referring to specifically is racism and experiences of some of the first Hmong people in the La Crosse area. And so I think that's a big part of why this day is important. I'm not a part of the organizing, but I will be there to support the community.
I want to dig into more of those challenges, but I think first it's probably important to take a step back and talk a little bit about, you know, why, you know, a lot of Hmong people came to Wisconsin and the Minnesota area back in the 70s and 80s. And I wonder, Zhao, if you could talk a little bit about, you know, the conflict in Laos and Vietnam that really caused a lot of people to come to the U.S.
Back in the 60s, because the United States Secret Army came to Laos, asked for General Yang Pao to help support the Vietnamese communists from north to south. And then there's no any group that can support. So they talked to General Yang Pao and was promised that if the Hmong people are able to help United States cut the Ho Chi Minh Trail from north to south. At the time, the Vietnamese have which they call the Vietnam War, secret Vietnam War in Laos, in the Southeast Asia. And that's why General Yang Pao was asking the Hmong people to help recruit for soldier or military secret war. And then they are helping the United States rescue United States pilot who been drowned to the ground, or, you know, have some small station that the United States can drop some food or something to support, supplies to support the secret war for the Hmong people. So that story, we never know until we came to this country, and then we reflect back to our parents who has been fought during the war, who has been dying, who has been sacrificed, you know, during the war. And then at the time, I myself still a young boy between, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10. And so when I came to this country, I recall what my life back then is how it is start. We don't know, but, you know, the general level, they know what's going on, but we don't know because we are still too young. So that's why the Hmong have the choice to come to Thailand and then migrate to other countries like France, United States, Australia, Canada, and other countries. So United States is the number one country that Hmong choose to come because General Yang Pao came over here, and relative that they like to come here for survival, not just economic wise, but it's because, you know, refugee issue. So Minnesota has happened to be, and California happened to be the, I think number three is Wisconsin, happened to be the three most state that more people like to unite together. And more people like to stay into a big group together because they like to help and support each other back in Laos like they used to be before in the village. So the relative in family type clan is very important for Hmong people. They like to scatter around too, but mostly like to stay into a family type clan so they can support each other during for you know, whatever happens to the family, they can support each other easier. And so I myself, I came to Minnesota back in 1979, 80s. So, you know, Wisconsin seemed to be number three of the largest Hmong population in the United States. So the story has been long, but I think more people came here and they received very good support from all the American and non-other Hmong people. And they feel like this country belongs to them, and they start their life, they become good citizens, they're working hard, and now they're able to survive and support themselves, and they also reflect back and support the community, which is we really happy that a lot of things that Hmong also improve themselves and become to serve the community so that the community can be much better whatever they live or they stay in this country.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the history of the Hmong community around La Crosse and how it's shaping the next generation. We're here with Zhao Vang, board president of the Hmong Cultural and Community Agency, Maishoa Vang from Giaxia, and Chongchur Lee, a board advisor for the HCCA. Chongchur, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what your experience was like coming to the U.S., coming to Wisconsin specifically as a young man.
Yeah, when I came to America, that's 1976. I'm still a teenager. You know, I have an opportunity. I started fifth grade level in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. It's quite a bit of challenge. We don't know any English. So that's the challenge in language, you know, and being. There's no ESL, no nothing in school. We are thrown to, enrolled in an elementary school. And, you know, you just have to learning ABC from day one. And that's the challenge, you know. But we have the opportunity. That's quite young age to go to school here in America. And, you know, when we came to Wisconsin, our family is sponsored by church. The First Lutheran Church in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. So mostly all the refugees, when they came to U.S., you had to have a sponsor. That's mainly through church. And then that's how we started. And we lived in Beaver Dam for 5 years. And then, you know, with that, we're always looking for a relative. And we discovered there's quite a bit of relative people we know. We knew, you know, live here in the city, La Crosse. So we tried to move and being together as a family, you know, clan, so near our family, a relative, and then we decided to move here to La Crosse. And ever since here, you know, for me, and have opportunity to go to high school here, graduate from Logan, class 84, and then continue to UWL. So I have a chemistry degree from UWL here. So I consider myself as a very first generation. I have an opportunity to school here in America and graduate from high school. And back then, you know, my class, 84, there's just a couple. There's only two or three, maybe five people graduate same year. And we are still here in La Crosse. And, you know, over the year, looking through the family, that's quite a challenge for the people, my family, with other family too. Language is still the number one issue. And job opportunity, and we have to job at this thing. So this is the thing that go through, you know, and have opportunity. So we are taking that. That's why people move to La Crosse, you know, many in the parents' family the very first thing is job opportunity, but the number one thing is education. You know, we hope that because the cluster they have, the back then was WTC, I think, what, I don't know, Western, I don't know what that is. Yeah, technical college, you know, so many of the elder, they want to come in and go to school here and take advantage of the technical college. So that's why suddenly we have a big influx of Hmong people come move to La Crosse here and establish family here, community here. And, you know, at the beginning, we feel like we are outsider moving to the community. But nowadays, we are part of this La Crosse community. Our culture is being matched into the larger community here. So I think the Hmong culture, part of the La Crosse culture too. So this is why many things in my the generation go through, you know, and grow up in different time period. That's why this event is going to be showing or display or demonstrate that, you know, we are being part of this community. And so that's the good thing that we want to talk about it. And, you know, having something programmed like this, talk about like the radio, it's a good thing we talk about and learn about the culture, the history, and that's the challenge. That it's really rewarding for everyone. So,
yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up because that was one of the questions I had for you. Of how do you think the Hmong community in this area has impacted the community of La Crosse? You know, how have you guys, influenced the community?
That's a good thing, you know. And over the year, you know, we have been very active for myself, very active in the community, from the Hmong agency to a local volunteering to, like myself, I've been, being on board in the United Way board too, and serving at various capacity in the community here, being visible here. And for my family and myself, you know, becoming an entrepreneur, like my wife and I, being the owner of the Hmong Gregor restaurant here, this is 16 years. And over the year, you know, many of us are becoming, taking advantage of the education, the business opportunity, the opportunity that we're seeking in the U.S., in America. And some of us, you know, become entrepreneur, business owner. And that's the good thing for the community. And that's we want to contribute ourselves, our culture and things to the community too. So everyone grow a lot, you know. So now we want our children, when they grow up, we want them to see that, you know, when we live here as a community, we are being part of the community, and we make a difference to the community too. Not just live here, we want to be part of this community.
Michelle, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you know, how these experiences have maybe influenced the next generation of Hmong Americans, you know, people who were born here in the U.S.
Yeah. I was actually born in Thailand. I was born in a refugee camp, and I was only one when my family came to the United States. And we came here to La Crosse. Our family sponsored us, and so I don't remember. A lot of people always ask me, like, how was the refugee camps? And I really don't remember because I was only one. But from what people have told me, it was, you know, these long houses. And sometimes there was 2 to 3 families in it. And each family would have about 6 people. And it was really small spaces and really crowded. And a lot of people, you know, my parents decided to come here for another opportunity, for a chance to kind of make a life for themselves. Because for them, they're young enough where all they knew growing up was war. So they weren't teenagers or anything. And my father told me about, his name is Xiao Mo Feng. And he told me a story once about how he was 8 years old. And he had to cross the Mekong River with like a bamboo stick, right? And that's all you have. And that's like taking an 8-year-old kid and dropping them at the edge of the Mississippi River and saying, you have to get to Minnesota. And here's a plastic bag, blow some air in it. And if you don't, you know, you're going to die. And so that contrast is, it's impossible to imagine how my parents have made it this far. They've gone through so much. And for me, I grew up with a lot of opportunities. I'm really thankful for that. I'm really thankful to my parents for giving me that opportunity, but I definitely grew up with struggles too. I think that even now, our young people, the last few years I've worked closely with youth in the area, and our young people are still struggling. I don't think that we have solved all our issues yet. Our young people are still struggling with identity. They're still struggling with racism. They're still struggling with poverty. And I think that's a very real problem for the La Crosse area. But I will say that, you know, a lot of families were sponsored here. The first family, Hmong families in La Crosse, were sponsored here to this area by churches. And there's a thing called the second migration for a lot of refugee families. Sometimes they leave the area they first end up in because they are looking for family. So they would move out of this area to go find family or to be with their families. And lots of Hmong family, from what I've heard, have stayed in this area. And you two can speak to this maybe. Or maybe Zhongqiao can speak to this because you've been here for so long. A lot of family stayed in this area because it's so beautiful. And it really reminded a lot elders about of their homeland of Laos and of the mountain ranges, and that it had all these rivers. And the other piece was that the community here was very welcoming. That's not to say that there weren't a lot of struggles, but I think that that's one of the big reasons why Hmong people stayed in the La Crosse area and have been able to thrive.
That's Maishoa Vang, Program Director for Giashia, here with us today to talk about the history and the future of the Hmong community in the La Crosse area in light of a local Hmong History Day. Also joining us are Chong Chur Lee and Zhao Vang from the HCCA. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Zhao, I wonder if you could expand on that idea that Maishoa brought up of, just how the geography of this area maybe attracted a lot of Hmong families because of the similarities.
To me, I resided in Minnesota for 20 years. In 2005, I came down to visit my cousin, and I decided to move down here because it's a small town, it's more peaceful here. I like the environment, like the mountain, the river, and I feel like, oh, this is more peaceful. I live enough from in a big city, so I moved my family here, and I like it. I resided in Onalaska and bought a small house there. And I feel like, oh, I moved here a little bit too late. I should move early. like Maishoa said, when I miss my homeland, I can drive my car around the mountain and was like, oh, feel like in Thailand and Laos with the windy, with the gardening. And so I think I relax more. Myself down in La Crosse, and the people, the community, the school, I feel like they're more friendly to me. I don't know why, but it's good. The school and everything that down here, not saying that nothing bad, but more people I met, it's more friendly, and neighbors, I feel more welcome down here, and so I'm gonna stay here for a while, and happen to be joining Wichongcho at the Hmong Cultural Center. At the time, it's called HMAA, but now it's been changed to HCCA. So the Cultural Center is a place that, like an umbrella to the Hmong community and non-Hmong people. So the center is a place that people contact and get resources and helping each other during good time and bad time. So that's why the center is a center for the central of everybody, Hmong people and non-Hmong people. So I'll let Song Jo speak more about why he stayed here so long and how do he feel.
Yeah, I mean, do you agree with this idea that the La Crosse community was welcoming to Hmong people at first? Or were there, hostility sometimes?
Yeah. In real life reality, community, they're always a challenge and something. When you first move into a different, a new community, you have to go through all kind of loop or hole, because not too many people knowing about you and try to understand the community. So this is a typical, like you migrate or you move to a new community, lots of things you have to learn over. But I think with Western Wisconsin, like La Crosse area here, why is it attracting many Hmong family? Like education, that's an opportunity. We come to America, we don't come with a full education. We are not very professional or something that we, or because we just moved to a different place because it's looking. We came to America as a refugee. We came to America with just a piece of clothes on our back. There's no luggage when we came to America. Just you just have a sack, just have a couple of pieces of clothing. So come to America is not something we want to. Or we're really looking forward to, like nowadays we want to take a vacation for the country. We come to America because something. Like earlier you talked about the war, the Vietnam War. We came to America because our parents believe or trust in like America, that the Constitution, you know, that freedom, democracy, that's what we believe. That's why when the American, the CIA, they come to Laos and they recruited, and like in General Meng Pao, and then he recruited and the Hmong people to taking to work with the CIA to America, defending their democracy, their, defending the expansion of communism. Well, you know, politics is, we don't want to talk to politics, but that's the big, because the political issue. You know, so we had to engage in war. So in Vietnam, everybody knows the Vietnam War, but behind the door in Laos, often they call it the secret war. That's what most of our parents engage in, involved in. Many of our parents died that result of the war. So when the U.S. Returned home, they leave lots of people in Laos. If they stay around, they're going to face political prosecution. Yeah, being sent to, many people being sent to re-education camp. So we, many of them, have to become refugee when they escape to Thailand. The only thing, I mean, people with no country. So being a refugee in Thailand. So in order to resolve that, you know, the U.S. government in the country, in the world, they have to take Hmong, if they're allowed to, from facing a persecution, so came to America. You know, so that's why we, the parents decided it's better to go to America, you know, rather than stay in the U.S. Being a refugee, you know, because you know, you cannot support your family, you know. Poverty, that's the main thing. So most of the family took the opportunity, you know, migrate to America and become immigration, and taking the opportunity to America, and that's how why we come to here. Initially, it's not something, a place that we just go for vacation. Well, I love to. We come to America with no choice. The only choice we have, the most parents have, is if we stay, remain back, facing hardship. If we go to America, there will be opportunity for the parents, opportunity for the children to grow up so they have a better everlasting life. That's the key thing. Yeah. So that's why when we come to America, not like a vacation, not when we come to America, there is no welcoming something at the airport or something. You know, sponsor come, you just out the airport, sponsor just one or two sponsor, you know, can't pick up family. They just, hello, welcome to America. That's it. We don't even know. We heard that, the word America, but we have no idea what's America like. And that's the culture shock. That's why go throughout this, when we, many people, different place, America, when we able to communicate, know that, you know, which part of the country, which part of the region that's more suitable for us. Like La Crosse here, this, we later learned that this is they have another name, the Coulee region and then the God's country. It's kind of nice because they have the, you know, the bluff, the environment, agriculture. Like Hmong family, we are agriculture people. when you talk about, like my parents, we talk about, what's the city in Laos? Like, they don't know what's a city. If you talk about your village, very small, like Kun Valley or West B or something, very tiny village, that's what we often call. So very agriculture. So when, like, being La Crosse, we like this. We like the Mississippi River, the bluff, the nice thing about that. You know, we can have a garden, we can get out to the wood. Basic thing that really resemble the lifestyle that our parents when we raised, and that's why they like it here. Fit the elder, our parents, you know, they like it. That's why we settled here. And later on, when other come in, then we tend to follow the our relative, the family. So we have those first group here in La Crosse, established resident here. Then those who stay back in refugee camp, you know, we heard about it. You know, we communicate, show picture, communicate back and forth. You know, we just go away because I know that cousin live here, so we just follow that. And that's why we're able to have many Hmong family here in La Crosse.
Do you see similarities between the Hmong experience as refugees and coming to the U.S. and, you know, refugees today, like Syrian refugees, you know, who are fleeing war and conflict in their homeland, you know, do you see similarities between those experiences?
I think because both are similar because of the war, you know, because war is not fun. War is destruction. Remember your family. Die because of the war. Many, many, many of the people, either they grow up raised by single parents, like for myself, you know, I've been raised by my mom, single parent, because my dad died during the war. So I think, that we're not planning to, thing that we're not looking forward to. We're hoping that, you know, things are gonna get better. And I think the language, the culture, we're not quite readiness for, because we don't understand. We don't understand the rule of law. We don't understand, you know, that you came to America, you're gonna have a nice house, that, you know, you had toilet in the house, you can have like a kitchen, you have a stove for this. Those things is not in our mind. So it's totally like one day you're right here, next day you're in a different environment, different place. And many things, I think the similarity, you have to start from scratch. You have to start from day one, learning the language, start from ABC, learning how to understand the community, the rule of the law, how to become a productive citizen, you know, so you can, you know, support yourself, become a self-sufficiency, so you're able to. So the language, yeah, that is the number one thing. And because of the environment we come to, and many of their parents, because of the war, they also soldier, and they see many bad things happen. So I think the flashback, all this thing was still haunting in their mind. That's the thing. So I bet with today's refugee and our as a refugee, I think very similarity because of the war. So, and you move to a new country. It's change, big challenge.
Chungcher Lee is board advisor of the Hmong Cultural and Community Agency. He's here with us today to talk about the history of the Hmong community in the La Crosse area and a local event hosted by the HCCA to celebrate and educate people about their story. Also joining us is Zhao Vang from the HCCA and Mai Shou Vang, program director for Giaxia Incorporated. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the history of the Hmong community in the La Crosse area. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. The Hmong Cultural and Community Agency is hosting a La Crosse Area Hmong History Day this month to celebrate the almost 40-year journey of Hmong people in the area and educate the community about their story. Joining us to talk about this history and how it's impacting the next generation are Changchur Lee and Zhao Vang, members of the HCCA's Board of Directors, and Mai Shuo Vang, Program Director for Giaxia Incorporated, a Hmong cultural organization in La Crosse. So we've been talking a little bit about, the history of the Hmong people in this area. But Maisho, I wonder if you could talk about, what do you feel like the biggest issues for the Hmong community are today?
It was estimated that the Hmong language is going to go extinct in about 50 years around the whole world. And earlier, Zhongqiao was talking about how language is actually a barrier here in La Crosse area for a lot of Hmong families, older Hmong families. But I think that now the story is flipped for young people. It's that they've either don't know the Hmong language as well, or they don't know it at all. And so language barrier for families, Hmong families now, is actually between youth and their parents or their grandparents. And that's the mission of Giaxia Inc. is to revitalize Hmong language, right? Because we know that that makes our communities richer. That makes the La Crosse area richer in terms of cultural knowledge and cultural wealth. And so I think that's one of the things that we're going to see a lot of young people being interested in and talking about more in this area. The other part is just general, and I'm going to go back to something else that you said earlier too. Again, is that we don't really like talking about the political stuff in the Hmong community, right? And it's really hard to stay away from that because everything that we do as a Hmong person is political. We're always grouped together, even if it's the action of one person. And an example of that is in the late 1980s, early 1990s, the crime rate was going up in the La Crosse area, and a lot in the Hmong community was being blamed for that. And so, because there were a lot of families moving here, there was a growing Hmong community in the La Crosse area. And so I think that we can't really stay away from that conversation for young people. And I'm starting to see it more and more with the young people that I work with. They are asking really good questions. They're really curious about what's going on there in the communities. They're really curious about Hmong language and culture. And nobody is really teaching them. Nobody is really giving them the time and opportunity to learn about that cultural piece of themselves and their families. And a big part of that is because a lot of parents, their mindset is that, because I had a language barrier, because I faced this prosecution, because I faced this racism in this area, it's better if my kids assimilate, right? It's better if my kids can learn English and speak it really well, because that is what success is, and that's how they're going to achieve it.
I think that is a really interesting issue that you bring up of people kind of grouping the Hmong community together, kind of, othering them or just kind of grouping them together. And, I wonder, why is that problematic for, this next generation and even, previous generations of just, kind of seeking their own identity in the bigger community of La Crosse?
I can't speak. I think that's a conversation that the mainstream community has to have, right? Because I think that when Hmong youth they seek out opportunities to learn about Hmong language and culture, they are ashamed for it, right? They feel embarrassed. They can't bring their foods that they eat at home to school for lunch. And so that's one thing. And that is a conversation that I can't have with the mainstream community. That's like the mainstream community, and in La Crosse, the mainstream community is a white community, needs to have. So that's something that they need to have to really address of how do we make ourselves, our community richer by bringing in all these other pieces, all these other pieces of our community.
Chung Chur, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about what you see as the biggest issues facing the Hmong community today as they look to the future.
Yeah, when you talk about this issue, you know, all kind of opinion or all kind of thing that people might have, I think based on a personal perspective and the environment we're in. Yeah, it's quite a bit of a challenge because within the Hmong community, too, or the large community. So, there's a couple of things. One thing is we have a generation gap. We have the old, the middle, like me, 50-50 Hmong, 50-50, I mean 50% English, 50% Hmong. Our parents was kind of like 80% Hmong and 20% English. And now, like my show could be like 25%, yeah, or 30% Hmong, 70% English. And our children, they're our, you know, grandkids. When you put this in a number perspective, the generations getting wider understanding. You know, we can have a community gathering. We can talk English or we can talk Hmong. So I think we have the language barrier too, not just the English between English and Hmong, but we also have a language barrier between them. Even the Hmong language, we also have barrier because it's a generation different. And I think educational level too, that's a challenge. You know, you have people that are very well educated. You also have a population that are 50-50, you know, that don't have the opportunity to go to school. So when you talk about put all this together, it's very challenging, you know, that understand each other. When we talk, if we have a meeting, we can talk about using very technical language in the Hmong language. You have a younger generation might not understand that. You can have an education or something like mostly in English, many elder, they don't even understand what's in the language. So I think that's the challenging for me right now is how to ensure that everyone, our generation, understand about this. So we have our children are very Americanized. You know, when you talk about baseball, you talk about like sport in America, you talk about baseball, hot dog, or this pizza, right? In Hmong culture, we don't have this, you know. When we talk about sport, like in Hmong community, we talk about soccer, volleyball, that's it, nothing. There's no baseball, nothing. So when you put all this together, that's the challenging, I think, for the diversity. That's the key thing. Like we want to hold this event, we want to talk about it. We had to talk about where we're coming from, what kind of thing the different and the similar. But, and where are we today? So we have this, all this, educated. I think the community of tomorrow is community of, that's, even the Hmong community or the at-large community, we do have all the different, but let's put all different together and turn into, convert into something that positive. We have to learn how to, you know, live as a community together, but let's embrace our difference, you know. Make that difference, contribute to the community at large, the whole community, so we can all can grow. We can, like the Hmong Culture Center, we want to have a Hmong Culture Center, have a Hmong language class, have the culture there, that we can contribute to the whole community so anybody can have opportunity to enjoy it, have the resource available to people. another issue, too, is we also have an intercultural thing. Intergeneration marriage, you know. We have a Hmong man marry a white girl, or also other ethnic group, too. So they're intermarriage, you know. And like I told lots of number of people, too, you know, what happened in the future generation? When you have a kid that it's have a Hmong last name, but the skin is white, or the skin is black, or the skin is yellow, what happened to all these people? Where they gonna be classifying these people? That's the challenge. That's the community, and this also not just the at-large community, also facing the Hmong community too. How we as parents can be embraced this and accepting all this and understanding so. that's the challenge. And I think when you talk about all the challenges, every day is no challenge. Every day people, you know, and as part of the globe. And adding into that, you know, I want to interject with all this technology too. You know, nowadays you can have a cell phone, internet. You can go into anywhere. You can log into it. You can read anything anywhere in the world. Could be bad, the bad, the good, the ugly thing, all be in there. So as a community-wise, I think now it's time for us to talk about this. As a generation, raise a generation in La Crosse, you know, since, compared to 81, now it's a long time. I see multiple generations grow up, and you know, back in 81, when I'm still a teen, I really enjoy everything back. But now, as I become older and become elder, things change a lot, and the community changed a lot. Now our children are using technology, cell phone, nothing. You know, you can click on it, you know. Even my, you know, 4 years old grandkid, if I have to tell him or her to, you know, turn on the TV, do this for me, okay? Turn on the computer. How do you use the cell phone? These are the things that change. So these are the things that we as a community have to learn to embrace each other and accepting that because of the economic or because of marketing is driving the society here. So we have to learn all this, and this is the challenge, I think, facing everyone.
Yeah. I want to add that right now, or the last 10 years or so, that the Hmong student body in the La Crosse School District is at about 11%. That's a pretty significant number for a minority group or an ethnic group in the La Crosse School District. And some of the policies that comes from the school district, sometimes it's really good for the community, and sometimes it kind of harmfully affects the community, the Hmong community specifically. And I think that's something I'm seeing a lot of young professionals moving towards, is they say, like, we can never not be political, because they're saying, like, my kids are going to be part of the school district. My kids are already a part of the school district. And I don't see a lot of change that is impacting them positively. So maybe I might want to run for a board. Maybe I want to run for office, and I can be a part of that change. I'm seeing that happen in our community. I'm seeing the conversation starting, and that's really exciting for La Crosse.
Can you give an example of a way that, you know, like the school district or others are doing things that aren't helpful for the Hmong community?
I'm going to go back to and it's not that La Crosse has always failed at this, because I think La Crosse has actually done really amazing things in the past. For example, in the 1990s, La Crosse started doing this busing system to schools based on socioeconomic status or income versus where you live. And that was when there was this influx, like this second influx of Hmong refugees to this area. That's when my family came to this area. And so La Crosse started seeing that, like, you know, there's really the way it impacted the schools was that some schools, because a lot of Hmong families will live in the same area based on housing, some schools needed a lot more services and support than other schools. So to address it, the school board decided to bus students to schools and change the, you know, schools that students can attend based on not on where you live, but on socioeconomic status, so that it was more even in all of the schools. The community wasn't happy about it. There was a group of parents that actually started a recall of the board members and even the superintendent. And so this was the response, right? This was a response from the community, even when the school board was really trying to do good for the community in general. And so I think that we still see that that, like, a lot of Hmong families won't talk about, Hmong parents won't talk about that political aspect. They won't tell you the truth about, like, what's really impacting them, because they don't feel safe. They know that there be, they feel like there will be a backlash from the mainstream community. And so I see that nowadays. I see that, I'll be honest, even when we're in safe spaces and we talk about, you know, how are we going to help our community, people hold back from that. And I think that we need to start having conversations together about how we're going to change that.
Mai Shouwang is Program Director for Giashia Incorporated, a Hmong cultural organization in La Crosse. Changchur Lee is Board Advisor for the HCCA. And Zhao Vang is Board President of the HCCA's Board of Directors. They're here with us today to talk about the history and the future of the Hmong community in light of La Crosse Area Hmong History Day, hosted by the HCCA. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find links to more information about the La Crosse Area Hmong History Day.